on the Rebel Sports Network from Learfield IMG College, live from Parkway Tavern. This is the Tony Sanchez Show, presented by Fenway Toyota. Also by Parkway Tavern, the official home of the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. This is your home for the UNLV Rebels. Now with Caleb Herring and Steve Cofield, here's the voice of the Rebels, Russ Langer.
And welcome to the Tony Sanchez Radio Show, live from Parkway Tavern on West Flamingo, presented by Findlay Toyota and Parkway Tavern. And we're pleased to be joined not only by head coach Tony Sanchez, but of course, former Rebel quarterback Caleb Herring, who is our color man on all of the broadcasts. And Caleb, what's new with you?
Not much is new. I mean, hanging in there, excited for a new week, heading up to the Shy, getting out to Chicago, but nothing much is new. Just excited to be here, excited to have a chance to chat with Coach about some Rebel football.
All right, and we're lucky we're not going tonight, Coach, because I understand that there's a tornado warning in the Chicago area tonight, so hopefully it'll be cleared up by tomorrow.
Yeah, hopefully before our plane lands. That's good.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Rebel, a buddy of mine lives there, just texted me and was saying, hey, good thing you're not coming in tonight. So
there you go.
Rebels are 1-1 now, and they're going up to Northwestern. The game is on Saturday, 12:30 Pacific time, 2:30 in the Central time zone, and against Northwestern. Coming off the Arkansas State game, Rebels losing that one, and early on, they played well defensively, Coach, but they're always behind the eight ball offensively with the pick six by Jeremy Smith, and then that was the third play from scrimmage, and some very short punts, and a number of things really combined to put them in a bit of a hole.
No, there's no doubt. Defense played really well. You go back and you watch the film, they did some really, really good things. Like you said, we had two bad punts, one for 17 yards, but twice they started possession and 10 on the 35 going in, and the defense won. They gave up one touchdown there and held one to a field goal. Did a good job, got a fourth down stop that I thought was really crucial to keep us kind of in early on, but offense never found their legs. We were five times out of eight drives, we were three and out. I mean, you can't do that. I mean, you're leaving the defense on the field too long. Never really found a rhythm. I mean, Chuck had one really nice run, the two-play drive, scored on that. And then we got in field goal range one time after, a 15-play drive. That was probably our best drive of the game. And really, that was our offensive production. So bottom line is we got to throw the ball better. We were really off, and it put us behind the eight ball. And then when Armani did make a couple throws later on in the second quarter, we had some drop balls. That didn't help matters, and we got to play better than that, bottom line.
Well, it looks like, from the outset, they kind of gave him the 17 points just from the offensive misfires.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, again, you look at that, you look at the field goal, the short touchdown on the off the bat kick, and then the pick six. I mean, that's 17 points to a really good football team. So, it's disappointing. I mean, I cannot explain you on how many levels. I mean, obviously, we're at the end of the week now, getting ready to, head to Northwestern, so our sights are kind of changed. But, had we had this conversation Sunday, it'd be a lot more colorful.
Yeah, absolutely. You pointed out some of the big things that the defense did early on. I think you mentioned those stops. In particular, I noticed Jericho Flowers, a big-time PBU in the end zone. Made a big play defensively. Those are some of the things that you build on going into the next week, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You have to. I mean, again, there were some good individual performances early. What happened later in the game, though, as we got tired, we worn down the tackling. You saw that kind of fall apart. Then, we spotted some guys, played some other guys, we gave up a 71-yard touchdown pass. It was, honestly ridiculous. You just got to tackle the guy right there, a little hitch route, and our guy fell down. So, yeah, again, there were some guys that did some really good things. Drew Techman did some really good things. We need to get more pressure on the quarterback. But the one thing we haven't done in the last 2 weeks, we haven't created a turnover. And that's really important going into this week.
Offense, as you point out, Coach, never really got into gear. Armani didn't really look comfortable all night. Can you put your finger on why that might have been?
A variety of things. I think early on, you have a mishap. You throw, a bad ball, and it turns into a pick six. And, sometimes those things affect people differently. He's a veteran guy, been around for a long time. He's won some big games. He's brought us back for some big deficits like he did against Reno. He's played his lights out, like he did against SC. So he's been on a lot of different stages for 3 years. So you'd think that, you'd be over that part of it. But you're right, he never looked comfortable, and that's our job as coaches to go ahead and, problem solve that with him and get him to a point where he's comfortable with everything he's doing. And, he's throwing good balls. Mechanics were a little off. He's throwing off his back foot a lot, not stepping into things. And those are things we worked on quite a bit this week.
So after the interception early, it happened first drive out there. I know after throwing a pick, I was one of those kind of guys that wanted to be by myself, kind of leave me alone, let me figure it out. As a coach, how do you go to your leader, your guy, and try to get him back? Do you give him space? What kind of approach do you take as a coach to get your quarterback back into things?
When it's an older veteran guy and you've been around him, you know, you don't got to go and jump in his face. I mean, he throws a pick and again, it's the first drive of the game. You know, it's a little bit of an errant throw and it ricocheted off our guy, their defender, another defender, and back to that defender. Right. So you're looking at kind of a random deal. But you expect him to just come back in the pop, you know, smack him on the butt and say, come on, man, let's go. That's all you really got to do at that point, you know. But, again, never really found the footing there, and, you know, that's unfortunate.
The protection also in front of Armani broke down several times, six sacks. What during practice, how is that working out? How are the guys looking to respond?
Yeah, well, when you watch, it's more so later in the second half. It wasn't really in the first half protection broke down, and all of a sudden now you're behind the eight ball, you're throwing the ball a little bit more, they're pinning their air backs, now they're starting to stun a little bit, and that kind of leads to the protection breakdowns too. So, again, you know, we got a veteran offensive line. They're, you know, they've been through a lot before and protected well in big games. So obviously, you know, as the game went on and as we wore down, it didn't hold up. So it's just something, you know, you go back to practice and you continue to work on it. And Coach Justice does a really good job with those guys.
The Rebel offense did put together a decent drive of more than 60 yards, but it stalled. You get a 26-yard field goal by Gutierrez that put you down 10-3. But then Arkansas State tried to convert on 4th and 4. From the 14, that's when Jericho came up with his first big play.
Yeah, it was a really nice play. You know, the guy broke out and Jericho cut in front of it and knocked the ball down, and that's a big play. I mean, that was one of those deals where, you know, the defense was, again, they were doing a good job of not letting the game get away, you know, giving us an opportunity to get back in that thing. And, you know, again, you know, right after that fourth down stop, you go out there and you get a three and out. I mean, it's so important to move the chains and get that defense off the field for a little bit, but that's when we had that 17-yard punt that landed in the stands, and then that resulted, I believe, in a field goal.
And preceding that punt was some drop passes, as you point out.
Yeah, there was. You know, again, I still go back to the accuracy a little bit. You know, it is a drop on Randall, but the ball is on the back shoulder when he's running a slant route. You know, that's hard. I mean, ball placement's a big deal.
Tough
you
catch,
know,
yeah.
It's a real tough catch. So it's not just a routine drop. You know, and then the last drop on that drive. I mean, it's 3rd and 10, and you know, we check down to the swing route, and honestly, if he catches, he's probably still short anyway. So, just overall, I think that was a bad series for us.
So after that bad punt you mentioned by Haken, he was on booming that thing for the rest of the night after that. He had the one, which is, I guess, a mulligan or error on his part, obviously. But what did you say to him to kind of get him fired up? Because he seemed fired up and was really putting everything he had to the rest of those kicks the rest of the night.
Well, him, I got in his face and, you know, told him it was totally unacceptable. I mean,
right,
when you go
right.
When you're an older guy and you have the season he had last year, which was tremendous, you go through camp, you know, week one, he was okay. You know, he's better than that. And then after that second, you know, bad punt, you know, I let him know what I thought about it, and he did better after that.
Caleb, as a quarterback, when your line has some issues, in this case, Rebels in the second half, but at some point, and then there's some drop passes, that's got to test a quarterback pretty seriously from a mental standpoint. So how did you deal with adversity like that when you're playing?
Well, you know, you have to realize as a quarterback, you rely on people every play. I think whether it's the center getting the snap back, the protection getting solid, or receivers catching the passes, you rely on somebody every play. So the things you do in those situations is kind of get behind your guys, because drop passes especially, receivers beat themselves up over that. And I think as a quarterback, you got to make sure that you are the one that stays level-headed and keep reminding them, keep them in the game, because the ball's going to come back to them the next play. They have to be ready. They can't be thinking about the last drop. So as a quarterback, for me, I didn't focus on my own self in those situations. I would focus on what I could do to help everybody else around me be better. So just keeping my spirit up, even if it's false enthusiasm, you keep yourself up, and it's kind of contagious. When the guys see their quarterback, you know, you're all right, you got it, then they kind of build on that and execute better for themselves.
Then Arkansas State did punch it in a couple of times, and by halftime, they had a sizable lead. But what did Coach, what were some of the things said during halftime?
Well, you're sitting there at 23-3. Nothing insurmountable about that in this day and age of college football. I mean, 30 minutes in college football is an eternity. You can come back from that. It's three scores. So, really, it's coming out of the locker room, getting a stop, and then, you know, again, having a quality offensive possession and going down and getting a touchdown. And all of a sudden, you go from, 23-3 to 23-10. That's a whole different deal, right? Unfortunately, we come out a little lackluster defensively. They drive down. They score right after the halftime, you know, and then it took us a minute to get going and – get another touchdown on the board. So you know, again, when Chuck did finally score, you're sitting there and you're going, all right, you know, 30 to 10, you know, you still got a shot, but you got to put some drives together. And again, we never found our rhythm offensively. I mean, we had to throw the ball down the field, struggled with it the entire night. And then again, as the night went on, the protection wore down. And we weren't spending much time on the field, we just left the defensive guys out there too long.
When they scored to make it 30-3, that was a 75-yard drive on 8 plays. And Merritt capped it off with a 37-yard touchdown run, as well as a touchdown catch. That's when it really began to look, Coach, like the defense was starting to wear down with some missed tackles on that drive.
That should have been a catch and tackle right away. Our safety came down, he had him in the sights. I mean, it's kind of a routine play, and he just kind of got his feet stuck in the mud and missed that tackle. So, again, those are things that, you know, you have to avoid. You know, part of avoiding that is coming out and playing better early in that football game. You know what I'm saying? When you're sitting there and you're in a 7 or a 14-point game, you know, chomping at the bit, it's a little bit different of a situation. You know, obviously the emotions of what's going on can affect guys in different ways, and obviously we didn't handle it that well.
So it looked like Charles Williams was the momentum changer. Like that big play, it seemed like, maybe in a normal situation, we'll get the guys energized, get everybody back going, and kind of get the spirits up on the sideline. But because of the point of the game, did you at all, as a coaching staff, hesitate to lean heavily on the running game because of the scoreboard at any point in the second half? Because that it seemed like the bread and butter of the offense is the running game. That's been kind of the staple for the past 4 years. How tough is it playing from behind to lean on the running game as much as you want to?
Well, time becomes a factor. You know, when you start looking, possessions, you're usually going to get, you know, I don't know, from 7 to 10 possessions and a half normally. And you start getting, you know, into that the fourth quarter, you know, late third, fourth quarter, and you start looking at that margin, it's harder to continue to just keep running the ball downhill.
One of the big highlights certainly was the electrifying run by Charles at 78 yards. It set up his own touchdown run on the next play. We went over the pylon for the score right there. Address, if you would, Coach, what – The fact that he is stepping in for Lexington Thomas, who's out of the program now, and no one is surprised by his strength, but some may be surprised by his speed.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if you hadn't, you know, listened or, you know, it's really, you know, been detailed about, you know, him and his career. I mean, we said it, you know, when he came in, he was the only guy in the state of California to go to the finals in the 100 and 200. I mean, he was, you know, if it's a flat-out race, he's been the fastest guy on the team for the last 3 years. So, I mean, it doesn't surprise any of us. I mean, he can flat-out fly, you know. Lexington was a little bit more shaky, but as far as straight-end speed, yeah, that Charles has got that on him. So, and you see, he's a different runner. Lexington is more of a shifty type guy in space. Charles is a slasher, you know, and he does a great job of it. In the last two games, he's done really well, and I think he'll continue to do so.
Second half of the show, we're going to have a chat with one of the Rebels. We had our buddy Steve Cofield had a chance to catch up with Justice Olawashan, and we're going to have that conversation in the second half of the show. We're going to take our first break in a moment, but first, a reminder, this is the Tony Sanchez Radio Show, live from Parkway Tavern on West Flamingo, presented by Finley Toyota and, of course, Parkway Tavern and RID.com, giving away $10,000 to one lucky fan. If the Rebels score safety during this season, make sure to go to UNLVRebels.com/RID to register for your chance to win. Rebels playing this Saturday, first road game. Rebels are 1-1 playing at Northwestern in the Chicago area this Saturday, 12:30 Pacific time, 2:30 in the Central time zone. And we'll take a break and come back with a whole lot more. This is the Tony Sanchez Radio Show on the UNLV Sports Network on Learfield IMG. To the Tony Sanchez Radio Show, live from Parkway Tavern. We're on West Flamingo. Indeed, we are. Brought to you by Finley Toyota and Parkway Tavern for a great selection of new and pre-owned vehicles, as well as no-hassle sales representatives. Come to Finley Toyota. At Finley Toyota, they'll do anything to sell you a car. And also brought to you by Cox. Don't miss a big play while you're checking your phone. Access the Contour Sports app from Cox with voice control or through the main menu. Get stats and scores on your TV screen without interrupting the game. Visit cox.com/contour to learn more. Visiting with head coach Tony Sanchez and Caleb Herring. Coach, let's touch on a couple of other aspects of the game as well. We mentioned briefly Jericho Flowers. Big game, 7 tackles and 2 pass breakups.
Yeah, that's a big game, for him. That's a really talented receiving core, and those guys played in the island a lot, so it was really good to see Jericho play with as much confidence as he did.
In your mind, how many, to what degree were the sacks the result of the offensive line breaking down as opposed to Armani maybe holding the ball too long, delayed decision-making?
A little bit of both. I mean, there were some sacks that didn't happen immediate. There were some where it's a little bit delayed, and you just got to get rid of the ball. If nothing's there, get rid of it. Hard thing is we had some sacks on first down, and it just puts you off schedule. And that's the biggest thing is you can't get off schedule on first down. Again, when you're struggling, you're not throwing the ball as well, not having a bunch of offensive rhythm. Second and 16 doesn't help. That's really tough. So you look at the third down conversion rate, it wasn't very good. A lot of those thirds were thirds and long.
Kenyon Oblad hooked up with Grimes, two local products, 56-yard touchdown strike, and Kenyon has looked good in parts of two games, albeit versus mostly twos and threes.
Yeah, Kenyon's a heck of a talent. He's got a live arm. He does a really good job. We've seen his progression in practice, his understanding of the offense. There's still some things he's got to get, settled in and used to, but he's a good football player. When he gets an opportunity to go out there, he shows it.
Talk about Grimes. He had a drop earlier from Armani, and then he bobbled one that Oblad threw him late in the game, but then was able to redeem himself basically with a big touchdown as far as confidence-wise. How's he feeling in practice? Because there was a couple of times I saw him, the receiver do a look at the hand, shake the head thing on the game. How's he doing confidence-wise after a couple of drops?
He's confident. His big thing is just focus. He's got to be a focus guy. I always say, you don't catch ball with your hands, you catch it with your eyes. If your eyes are right, your hands are right.
Right.
That's everything in the game. So he's a guy that's got to learn to be focused all the time and stay in the pocket, And having played the position in college, it can be very frustrating when you're sitting there and you're jacked up about a game, you're excited, you want to be a difference maker, and all of a sudden you don't get targeted until late.
Absolutely.
In the second quarter, and it's not the greatest ball, and you drop it, and all of a sudden you get really frustrated. And so part of that is, too, us, and we've got these talented guys, getting the ball dispersed to all these different athletes early in the game to get them involved. That's such an important factor.
It's funny you mentioned. I never really put it in perspective that way. I'm not a receiver, but a lot of the times receivers go maybe 30 minutes of real time from warm-ups to the first time they touch the ball in a game. And that can be discouraging, especially with a predominantly run-based offense that you guys run. You're blocking a lot of time, so when the ball does come, it's like a precious gift. You don't want to drop it.
Yeah, absolutely. You hit the nail on the head, and that's one of the things we really emphasize this offseason was being a little bit more diverse and getting the ball to those guys. Obviously we want to be big and physical and get downhill and run the ball, but I think this is by far the most talented receiving core that we've had since I've been here. Depth-wise, we got a lot of playmakers in it. You got to get those guys the ball. When we struggled like we did early in that game, and you get kind of behind the eight ball, there can be some frustration that builds up. And nobody was pointing fingers, and there was no bad attitudes on the sidelines, but I just know how it is individually as a player. You want to help. You want to make a difference. And when you're not touching the ball, sometimes it gets, difficult.
Rebels on defense, Coach, obviously they're expecting Arkansas State to pass a lot. They threw 50 passes against SMU the previous week. So utilize the 3-4 a lot, giving Bonner a fair amount of time. Although you mentioned Drew Techman. Also, Evan Austrey seemed to have a good first half. Looked like Plummer was a little soft on some of the coverage, though.
He was. He played with a little bit of a cushion. We talked about that quite a bit. They had two real easy access first down throws that were just, 10, 12-yard, hitches. Not hitches, but stop routes. And he's still 10 yards off. He's got to play with more confidence. He has to have more spatial awareness. And that's something we addressed during the game. We addressed it this week of practice. So we expect him to play with more confidence and tighten up on those guys.
All right, we're going to take our next break and come back. We're going to discuss the upcoming game against Northwestern and everything else to do with that game, which is coming up this Saturday, Rebels' first road test in the Chicago area against a tough Northwestern team. A reminder that Findlay Chevrolet is your home for...
Woo!
Come by today and see why thousands have made the switch to... Findlay Chevrolet, located on the 215 Beltway between Rainbow and Jones. Nevada's number one volume, and we mean volume, Chevrolet dealer. Find new roads. All right, much more with head coach Tony Sanchez and, of course, Caleb Herring. And we've got our conversation coming up with one of the really top Rebels in the club in the second half of the show. But we'll take our second break right here. This is the Tony Sanchez Show. We're live at the Parkway Tavern on West Flamingo. Show brought to you by Parkway Tavern and Findlay Toyota. This is the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield IMG. friends at Findlay Toyota. We speak 14 different languages. No matter how you say it, you'll always get a great deal at Findlay Toyota. Stop by Parkway Tavern, also one of the sponsors of the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. Show you're tuned into right now. Great food, great atmosphere. A couple of locations, and the location featuring us right now is the one on West Flamingo. And we're having a great time here. Head coach Tony Sanchez, Caleb Herring. Caleb, as an ex-quarterback, when you're watching, you see a situation like Armani, who's obviously supremely talented, but clearly struggling in a game. Discuss how the empathy that you can feel for him based upon your own experience.
Well, immediately I go back to my own experience. Like you said, I've had games where I just didn't feel comfortable. And I imagine that it looked the same way. I mean, obviously from my perspective, it felt bad. It felt terrible. But watching somebody else go through, I just want to get down there and say, hey, it gets better. There's, you know, it's not – this game doesn't define you. This drive doesn't define you. That interception doesn't define you. So you want to encourage a young player as much as you can, but obviously they're the ones on the field. They have to feel it. They have to learn from it and move on. But I definitely draw on some of my own experience. I've had bad games. I've had maybe one of the worst games in UNLV history. So I know firsthand what it's like to be in that spot. But like you said, I feel for any player going through, but specifically quarterbacks, because I know how difficult the mindset of playing quarterback has to be. It's like if you're off at all, if you're not comfortable at all, if you're not confident at all, it's going to show. And I immediately identified it with, like Coach said, some of the throws off the back foot. I can identify a quarterback that's uncomfortable for whatever the reason was. It's his own. I'm not going to pretend to know what he was thinking. But you feel for him and you hope he gets it back. And a week in practice going into another game right the following week instead of having a bye week to sit and think about it, it's good. It's good to throw yourself into a different game plan and erase the memory of that last game. I hope that's what he's doing. And from all indications, he's been having a good week in practice. So I felt for him watching it unfold last Saturday. But an opportunity to move on. It's a new week. It's a new day in college football, and you got a chance on Saturday to redeem yourself.
Anytime that you had some kind of struggle, was there somebody that you leaned on to help you? What helped you get through that? Was it a coach? Was it a teammate? Was it somebody else or just yourself?
Personally, for me, it wasn't anybody. I didn't need anybody to get rah-rah or encouragement or anything like that. I literally would lock myself in a room and watch film. And that's what was my first watching the film, putting it to bed, and realizing what I messed up on. Like I definitely looked terrible here. Watching my footwork, my footwork's all off. I can say why I was throwing these bad balls. My footwork's messed up. Watching the reads that I missed, thinking about the game plan. Why wasn't I in tune with the game plan? Whatever it is, putting that game to bed and then absolutely throwing myself into the next game plan. That's how I got over as a quarterback. I was a junkie in the film room. So watching film was my medicine. And if I had a bad game, that's what I did. I watched film. I threw myself into the next game plan. I made sure I had all the answers in the pregame script when we were going through, you know, clap drills and all that stuff. I made sure I was on point for those things, and that's how I got over it. So week to week, you just keep continuing to do that. You got 12 opportunities. Just throw yourself into a new game plan. And as a football junkie, that was, like, the most exciting part about it was getting another chance to throw myself into some new scheme and master it if I can by Saturday.
Coach, before we get into the nuts and bolts of Northwestern, let's talk about the mental side of it. The team has played two home games. On the one hand, playing on the road is never easy, but under some circumstances, sometimes it's almost a bit of a plus to get out after you've had a couple of games at home. Maybe a couple of things haven't gone right, and you get away for a little bit.
Well, we've been at home for a month and a half. I mean, so when you think about it, these guys reported to camp August 1st, and you go through the grind of camp, you know, and then you have the two games at home. You can get very relaxed, you know. I mean, just that routine. So I think the guys are going to be fired up about getting out, jumping on a plane, you know, flying out, staying in a hotel, kind of locking everybody down together. No outside distractions, just us. It's a good thing, you know. We've won some big games on the road, so we're gonna go there and get them healthy. We can get another one.
There's something about being locked away with your teammates that really focus you in on the game plan. I mean, this week you're going a little earlier, so that extra day just with the team in a new territory, so to speak, you kind of got to lean on each other a little more.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we'll get there, you know, obviously later on Thursday night, tomorrow night, and then Friday we wake up and go down to a local high school, get a good practice in, just us, and be quiet, again, no distractions, back to the hotel, get something to eat, and then we'll drive out to the stadium, check it out, you know, let them kind of, you know, get their feel for it, and then head back and have our night meetings, and we'll be ready to go. And I like the early kickoff. Anytime you're going away, especially East Coast, it's nice to have an early kickoff. So it all lines up well. Now we just got to go out there and execute and play well.
Northwestern themselves, What are some of the things that you, they look like a very strong defensive team. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what they do. You know, Coach Fitzgerald, you know, he's done a really good job over the years. They're a real boxy, physical football team. You know, they kind of want to fight you in a phone booth, so to speak, you know, both offensively and defensively. You know, so defensively, I think, you know, we've got some athletes to match theirs for sure. You know, we have to do a good job of getting to the perimeter, getting the ball to some of our receivers. The most talented guy in the field skill-wise might be Randall Grimes. So, you know, can we find him and get, you know, get him the ball? We got to find a way to run the ball against them, and they're tough. I mean, I don't care who they play. I mean, they, when you watch them on film playing the Notre Dames and Ohio States, I mean, they physically can get after it inside the box. So we got to do a really good job of finding a way to run the ball with Chuck and Armani, and we got to get Armani more involved in the run game. You know, last two games he hasn't really needed to be involved much. Last game wasn't really involved much, I mean, much at all. I think it's important that he becomes part of this this game plan. And then offensively, their starting quarterback went down. They kind of had a battle during camp. They had the Clemson transfer who's starting now, but their original guy ended up breaking his foot. The new guy comes in, the transfer, and he did a decent job. Took him a while to kind of find his footing. He was kind of helter-skelter for a little bit, but at the end let him down, got him a good touchdown drive. So I think it's important for – I think both teams, I think whichever quarterback can come to balance faster, contribute more, and get their offenses rolling, I think has the best chance.
The Northwestern team, obviously at academic, a high-level academic school, if you look at their history, they have a history of really playing better as the season goes along.
They do. I think it's because of their discipline, and I think any time you build a physical brand of football, you're going to be better at the later part of the year. You know, I think, there are some teams that are good no matter what they do, but, I mean, when you look traditionally late in the season, the teams that usually last late in the playoffs, they can run the football, they can get downhill, and they can play good defense, and that's 100% what Northwestern's based on.
Not a flashy school, kind of run heavy. You mentioned the situation at quarterback, and 0-1, they lost a tough game at Stanford.
They did. You know, again, Coach Shaw at Stanford does a tremendous job. That's two very similar type blue-collar programs. You know, they're big academic schools, but they've created a blue-collar identity for themselves in the way they go about recruiting and playing, you know, the brand of football that they do. So, that's a tough loss on the road. I'm sure they're fired up. They've had a whole week to think about it and, you know, and get going. And, you know, we like to think we match up well against the run game. You know, when you look at us last year against, you know, towards the end of the year, you know, playing against San Diego State and such, you know, I feel like the front seven's our strength. So we're going to find out because it's about to get tested.
They're certainly a run-heavy team, as you mentioned. I would think you would expect a very physical matchup, too.
Absolutely. It's a good thing you have a bye after it. So it'll be a real physical matchup. And, again, we prepare our guys for it. And we'd like to think that we're ready to roll.
Talk about getting up for one of these kind of opponents, traveling across to Chicago. Everybody obviously knows Northwestern's a storied college program. The guys in the locker room get a chance to go up and play them and prove themselves against them, redeem themselves against them really after a bad performance last week. What are the guys thinking, chomping at the bit, trying to get out there to Northwestern?
The good thing about having an older veteran team, they've played some really good schools.
Right.
I mean, you know, not even a year removed, you know, we went down to the Coliseum, played SC, and had a tie game in the fourth quarter. So they've been there. I don't think they'll be overwhelmed by it. Javon White's got a pick six at Ohio State, you know, and, you know, they kind of overwhelmed us that day, but we did some good things. You know, we were able to score on their ones, you know, with our offense. UCLA a couple years ago, I mean, again, we had a game that was, you know, deep into the game. I mean, we're sitting there with a one-score deal. So we've got enough guys that have been in those situations that they're not going to be overwhelmed by it. I think they're all a little ticked about what happened this last Saturday. There's a big chip on everyone's shoulder. I'd expect our guys to go play fast, physical, and get after it a little bit.
Interesting point about the team being a veteran team, not overwhelmed by the big stage. You mentioned Ohio State, USC, Michigan. And they moved the ball well in many of those games.
Mm-hmm.
So, address, if you would, Coach, the need to do that early to establish some confidence.
Well, I think you have to. You have to put together a good offensive series. You got to go put some points on the board early just to get that bad taste out of our mouth. I mean, again, it took us too long to become productive offensively the other night. When you're a quarterback that, you know, didn't have, you know, I guess, you know, a ton of confidence during that game, didn't perform real well, and you're an older veteran guy, a two-time captain, you're going to want to go out there and show your team what you can do, you know, and he'll do that. An offensive line who's been called out a little bit for not protecting them as well, they need to be a little ticked about that and go out and do something about it, you know. And then a defense who, yeah, we played a good half, but can you play a good four quarters, you know. So there's a lot of things challenging-wise. And then special teams, you know, can we make a difference in that game? Is there somewhere that we can, you know, take advantage of? I think Daniel Gutierrez has been fantastic. I mean, God, he's really flipped the script. script and done well these first 2 weeks. Hayes Hickens, he can boom the ball, but can he do it consistently throughout the course of the game and not just put us in a bad spot? So I think he's fired up to do that too.
Entering the season, there were some questions about Gutierrez with regard to accuracy, but he seems to have answered a lot of those.
Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, a couple, you know, you talk to him, and, you know, we talked about, you know, putting on scholarship, and I told him, you're not getting put on scholarship until you show you can start for an entire season and be productive, you know. So it looks like he wants to earn one, so let's see if he can keep it up.
Northwestern's interior defense looked like they're pretty strong the first front seven.
Their front seven's good. I mean, you know, Patty is the name of their middle linebacker's first name.
What a name.
Yeah, exactly. So, he's projected to be, you know, late first, early second round draft pick, big 6'4", 250-pound guy. Their defensive linemen, I mean, they're as hard charging as we'll see all year. So, I mean, our offensive line's got to be ready to go because they're a big strike, read-type football team, and their D-line gives everybody havoc no matter who they play. So it's going to be a big challenge for our guys, especially Aston Morgan and Justice Olivashon. Those two guys, their DNs are going against. Those guys are pretty good, tough, physical football players.
Justice Olivashon, speaking of, we're going to have a conversation with him very shortly. But, Caleb, I want to ask you about your read when you were a quarterback on going on the road and getting out of the routine, as the coach mentioned, and perhaps some of the possible benefits of change of scenery.
Yeah, like it was an opportunity for me to really lock in. I think, number one, the plane ride. It's the most boring time you're going to have in normal life is riding a plane with a bunch of people. But for me, that was time to kind of get to myself and meditate on the game a little bit, you know, envision what's going to happen. At that point, when you're on the plane, you should be confident and comfortable with the game plan. So you're just thinking it through, replaying it over and over. Like I said, you get the film room set up in the convention rooms downstairs. A lot of guys, you know, like to go up and kick back and relax. I was one of the guys that was down there in the film room. It was me and the coaches or whoever else wanted to be down there with me, the video coordinators who were just turning it on for me. So you get a chance to get away from it, all the distractions. I think this day and age, it's a little harder to get people to put their phones down a little bit, but that was one of the things for me. I would just leave the phone in the room every now and then, go down to the hotel, walk around by myself or with the other quarterbacks, and just throw myself into the game plan. So road trips for me were great because it gave me a chance to focus. There was no outside distraction. It was me against the world, and I kind of like that chip on your shoulder. Like, nobody here likes me. Nobody here wants me to succeed right now, so I really got to be focusing on what I got to do. I'm gonna prove some people wrong. Like you said, that chip on your shoulder, going up to Northwestern or any road game, you're up against the world right now. So you're out there by yourself with just your teammates behind you. So you got to really be focused in order to execute on game day. And I really liked road trips. I honestly did. It was a chance to really lock in on football. And one of the things, too, I liked traveling away for camp. We used to do that back in the day. We used to go back and get out of town for camp, but just really focus in on football. And I think road trips allow you the opportunity to do that.
And the coach was talking about the importance of getting off to a fast start. So what's your comment on the importance of that with regard to your confidence and the confidence of the offense in general?
Yeah, it's always important to start off positive. I think a lot of people talk about two-minute drives and that first play being the most important play, getting something positive on the first play. But it's the same with every game. It does something to your confidence as a team to go out and get some production on your first play. Maybe not necessarily points on the board, but to see something that you game plan for all week and to see it on film that this is what we're going to try to do, and then go out in the field and do it, and it works, and you get some positive production out of it, it gives you a little extra boost. Like, okay, now the practice field is translating to the game, and we're seeing some production. So it's important in all situations to come out fast, especially as an offense, because like Coach said, you don't get so many opportunities a half or a game to go out there and put points on the board, so it's important to not waste them early.
We're going to have a chat with Justice Olivashon in just a moment, but a reminder that we're coming to you live from Parkway Tavern, your new home of the Tony Sanchez Radio Show and the official home of the Rebels on the Road. Come join us every Wednesday from 6 to 7 for food and drink specials during the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. So, Justice Olivashon, of course, Steve Cofield had a chance to get caught up with him. Congrats on the Week 2 honors from Pro Football Focus.
It's a big blessing, a big honor, you know, to be recognized like that. So, you know, I'm thankful for that.
Why do you think they graded you out so high? What'd you do well in this last game against Arkansas State?
I think the biggest focus, especially what Coach Justice was telling me all along, Coach, he was just saying that, you know, they have really good pass rushers. So I felt like I really did my job locking down the two ends on the outside. You know, I had, you know, a lot of dominating moments and a few pancakes here and there, so it was a overall good game for me.
So as a right tackle, what do you worry about more when you're going against someone talented on the end? Is it the 220-pound rusher, or is it the guy who's, you know, closer to 260, 270?
I feel like more of the speed guys. I'll admit it to myself. Like, you know, if you want to go power for power with me, like, I feel like I will dominate every time. But, you know, when you have somebody, you know, just flying upfield and, you know, trying to just try to get to the quarterback as fast as possible without getting touched, you know, it's hard to get out there. So, you know, I just got to set my feet and, you know, try to get there out there as fast as possible.
So the run game in general, what do you think so far through two games? Obviously, Charles is putting up gigantic numbers.
Yeah, Chuck, my boy, I'm very happy for him. He's doing a fantastic job. He's one of my favorite backs to block for, because he gives so much heart and so much effort. You know, it's easy to block for somebody like that. Like, you give him a 10-yard run and he's breaking tackles and at, you know, the 15, 20, 30, getting 30 more extra yards. So, like, someone who's hard to take down, that's the biggest thing with him. And he got some true speed to him. So, like, it's really fun to watch him.
I was going to say, it's surprising off of Lexington Thomas. You figure, hey, the next guy in, there's no way he's going to be as fast as Lex. But Charles can run, man. When he gets out there, that 77-yard run on Saturday, he freaking took off.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Chuck, people really be sleeping on Chuck's speed. I know he was doing track in high school, and, you know, he had a 10-6 in the 100. So, like, people be sleeping on his speed. And so, like, just seeing him, you know, take a 77-yard one back to the house, you know, takes the pressure off the O-line, makes it look good, so I'm happy for him.
You ever try to run step for step on one of those explosive runs with him and see how you do?
For sure. I'll most definitely try to keep up with Chuck. Yeah, I'm trying to be the first one to celebrate with him, stuff like that. And I'm just trying to show my speed, so maybe they'll, you know, give me a chance at running back or receiver, something like that. So
Tony Sanchez, radio show. We're talking to right tackle Justice Oluwaseun. I'll ask you, how was practice today in terms of the intensity?
Intensity is good. Up front, it was kind of sloppy at some points, but I feel like overall, I feel like we're ready to go against that kind of school. You know, we're always trying to fly around, make sure we're doing everything correctly. And if we make a mistake, we always go back and try to fix it. Even though, like, you know, we, you know, calming down practice a little bit, we're still every play, every snap, doesn't matter if we're scout or good on good. We're going full speed, full fly, just trying to be ready for Saturday.
So as you can hear, Justice is sort of a gentle giant. He's laughing a lot. But I have heard from Coach Sanchez, if there's a dust-up in practice, then you're one of the first guys in. So what's going on? All of a sudden the switch just gets flipped?
You know, I've been playing football for a long time, and for some reason there's always that just stepping on the field is like you can really take your anger out. You know, I got to be, you know, nice in society and stuff like that, and, you know, try to be as polite as possible. But when I get on the field, it's a different story. You know, I'm trying to be as mean, as dominant as possible. And, you know, something's going on, you know, I'm going to be the first one to go in there, you know, try to break it up or, you know, get my licks in.
You are from Richmond, Texas. Where is that?
Richmond, Texas. That's close to Houston, like maybe 20 minutes away from Houston, Rosenberg area, stuff like that. So down south.
Why'd you pick UNLV?
I love the environment. Really, I really like the coaches. They show they care. It's not just football. It's more it's school, being right, being a great man. And, you know, football always comes in that too. So, like, you know, it was I like the environment. I like the people around me. All the players, you know, they show true care and stuff like that. Even when I was, you know, deciding, they're always hitting me up on Twitter. Hey, man, like, we want you, but do what's best for you. So, like, you know, they really cared about me and showed that they really wanted me to come in.
Tony Sanchez, radio show. We're talking to right tackle Justice Oluwaseun. So that was probably important early on because you were hurt a lot. You know, you had some injury issues. Talk about the injury issues and that support system because, hey, football players, when you're not playing, you can get down. It becomes a bummer.
Yeah, like when I tore my ACL and stuff like that, that was probably the hardest thing I ever went through just because it was my first real big injury. Having, like, all the football players and all the coaches, you know, not just push me but be there for me, like, it really showed that it cared and it helped me get better as fast as I did. And I know it was I was blessed, you know, to come back as quickly as I did. You know, having that support group around, it was really, like, helpful. Just, you know, showing that they care and showing that they, you know, they don't just want me as a football player, but they want me as a, you know, human being.
How tough was it to stay in shape?
Real tough. yeah, food is real good. So, yeah, But it was tough. But, you know, just having that support system around and, you know, some good roommates that helped me, you know, get through that time where you shouldn't be eating that, you know, stuff like that, you know, and still trying to, you know, work out even though my knee was all messed up and stuff like that. You know, it was tough, but I got through it.
So what's it like now in terms of food intake? Because obviously you want to stay big and healthy during the season, but you also, you can't gain weight. You can't gain bad weight. So what's your diet like?
half my diet's here. We have a great like nutritional specialist right here, and she like makes sure we get half our calories here, like with the protein shakes and stuff like that, all the meals that's inside there. So I, you know, a lot of sandwiches and stuff like that, you know, rice, eggs, boiled eggs, the protein shakes are really good. And then, you know, when I get home, I try to, you know, do the same thing, just rice, something simple, not, you know, too much. If I want to like go eat out, like, I try to get Subway, try to get something healthy, just yeah. like to stay in that kind of shape, you know, just trying to be smart with what I intake and stuff like that. You know, I have my cheat day sometimes. I'm in big, so like, you know, I try my best to eat as healthy as possible.
I'm gonna use those tips. I'm getting a little chubby as I get older. I'm a lot older, but it's getting tough. Thank you, I appreciate that. Northwestern, they expect power football. So what do you think it's gonna be like battling these guys from the Big Ten?
You know, it's gonna be fun. You know, just having a big school like this, you know, we're going down there, going to our house and stuff like that in a hostile environment. I know that we gotta start early, start up front, you know, just be dominant. They got some big hefty guys up front. You know, they have a really good DN. So I'm excited to like go against a team like this, just to show who we are and show that we can actually do things like this.
Live from Parkway Tavern, this is the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. Head coach Tony Sanchez and former UNLV quarterback Caleb Herring joined right here. Great atmosphere, great food, great service, screens all over the place. This is the place to be. And the Rebels are taking on Northwestern this Saturday, 12:30 Pacific time, 2:30 in the Central Time Zone. First trip to Chicago for you, Coach.
It is. I haven't been to Chicago before, but it'll be an exciting time. We'll be focused on the game. I'll have to go back again to really see the city.
You need to get some deep dish. You too, Caleb.
I'll let Caleb see the city for me.
Yeah, I'll bring you a slice, Coach.
There you go. Appreciate it.
A nice deep dish pizza. But, yeah, first time in Chicago. It's fun to go out there and have an opportunity to see a new part of the country. But, more importantly, watch some good football on Saturday.
The Fertitta Football Complex, Coach. I know you get asked this all the time, but is there an approximate date now as we get very close to the opening?
We're hoping it'll be before the Boise game. That's kind of the target date right now. So if everything stays on track, it'll be here in the next couple weeks. So it's exciting.
This is obviously a place where, based upon everything that's been written and said, and of course you've seen the interior many times, the players can be better students and athletes as a result of a place like this, because generally speaking, from a recruiting standpoint, These young players buy with their eyes, don't they?
There's no doubt. I mean, they'll help in the recruiting game and just the building of the program. I mean, having a place where the guys don't want to leave, they want to hang out with their teammates, they want to be around, you're just going to see them more. You know, it's, with their players' lounge and the nutrition bar and a place to eat. I mean, it's just a place that's going to be their home away from home. So it's exciting to have that. And then obviously to be able to recruit is a big, big deal. On the way over here, I was listening to radio and they're talking about South Carolina and, you know, their new facility and the impact it's had on this recruiting class and such. And that's what's going to happen for the future of the Rebels. I mean, you add this facility, you add the new stadium, and it just opens up an entirely different world that you'll be able to recruit to.
Caleb, some of the coaches around the conference were talking about with some understandable degree of envy about what kind of an impact that this could have on the program.
There's a great deal of envy for me. As a former player, I'm looking at it like I would have loved to walk into something, but that's the kind of the what you're going for. You want people to want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that facility and that complex and stadium, all that stuff, the bells and whistles that come with it. You want to be a part of that at first glance. And it's about time some coaches have got envious about, you know, what the UNLV program has going on. And this is one of those things we can build off of. As a program going forward, you want to be the envy of the coaches in the conference. And I think with this complex and with the stadium next year, it'll be definitely something that everybody's looking forward to being a part of.
What's the single biggest thing, Coach, that this is going to offer that you don't currently have? What's the single most important thing in your mind?
The training table, being able to feed our guys. I mean, it just, we don't have the ability, like Boise and Wyoming and especially all the big schools, just to take care of the nutritional needs of the team. So when you're walking in and you have your post-shake before you lift, and your pre-shake and then your post-shake when you're done, then you go up and, you know, I mean, you have a steak dinner in the dining hall and you're eating breakfast in there and you're doing that. And you think about the attrition of the season. I mean, you come out of camp and you're feeding your guy three squares a day, but then you stop doing it in September because you don't have the facility for it. Well, what about those teams that are still feeding their guys in September and October and late November? I mean, you're going to fuel yourselves and you're going to participate at a higher level and play better. So that's probably one of the biggest things.
All right. Caleb?
I would love to have meals there. No, I would speak to the camaraderie side. The guys not wanting to leave. That was one of the cooler things about college football and sports in general, is just being around your teammates more. And I think if you have a place, a sanctuary kind of for the team to do that and kind of really have their own space and just be together and build that bond, that relationship where come Saturdays or even through practice, they trust each other and kind of have a better relationship with each other, it shows on the field. That chemistry means something. And I think that, for me, would be probably one of the bigger things, having that sanctuary. Having been at UNLV, we didn't really have our own space as a football team. So now for the football team to have their own space or kind of sanctuary to get together and congregate, I think that's going to be a big deal for the players.
Back with our remaining moments with head coach Tony Sanchez and Caleb Herring on the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. Back in just a moment. This is the UNLV Sports Network on Learfield IMG. Back once again. The remaining moments are final moments on the Tony Sanchez Radio Show for this week. The Rebels 1-1 going up against Northwestern this Saturday. This is the Tony Sanchez Radio Show live from Parkway Tavern, your new home of the Tony Sanchez Radio Show and the official home of the Rebels on the road. Come join us every Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. for food and drink specials during the Tony Sanchez Radio Show, brought to you by Parkway Tavern and by Finley Toyota. So the game this Saturday. And so, Coach, good luck. We'll see you on the plane.
Appreciate it. Fired up about it. Go Rebels.
All right, Caleb, we'll see you then.
Excited to get to Chicago, get a W.
All right, we appreciate you joining us, and thanks to everybody here at Parkway Tavern, and thanks to Finley Toyota as well. This is Russ Langer, and this is the Tony Sanchez Radio Show on the UNLV Sports Network on Learfield.